And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a reminder that there are notes in your bulletin on pages 4 and 5 if you want to follow along there and jot down notes. And want to point out towards the top of page 5, there's a reference, Romans 8:17. And that really should be 10:17. So there's an error there. But the verdict is in now. And look at the words that we have on the screen. You talk about good news, announced from God, announced to the world, received through faith individually. God says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an incredible announcement. And especially in light of when you think of our court of law, and you think of that time coming after a trial has been done, the jury has got their verdict, the defendant is asked to come forward and stand before the judge, and standing there to hear the verdict, and in a serious crime, knowing that if convicted, the sentence will be death. Can you imagine standing in that position? And then hearing those wonderful words, the verdict is in, not guilty. Well, that's the good news that you and I, dear friends, live with each and every day of our lives as people of faith. And what an incredible passage here in Romans. And this could be a Bible study just on this text for a number of weeks. You may want to read through this a few times later today and just allow God to really speak to your heart through these incredible words. But the good news is that, yes, the verdict is in, and we have been declared not guilty by God, but there was quite a work that had to be done by God in order to make this a reality for our lives and an offering to the world. And it comes through Jesus Christ, who we hear later in this text, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, apart from Christ, there is no hope. We remain dead in our sin. We remain in that position, not wondering what the verdict will be, but knowing that the verdict is death. It's God's judgment for sin. And so in Romans 8, we see quite a contrast between a life that is lived in faith in the victory of salvation and a life that is lived separated from Christ. And here's what that life is described like in our text before us. It is a life that is set on the fulfilling of the desires of our sinful nature. That is the entire life of an individual that does not have Christ in his life, in his heart, that does not have faith. It means that there's no battle within. It's interesting that for the unbelievers, there really is no battle within because there's no battle to be fought. It's the sinful nature fully without the Spirit there in the life of the individual. In Romans 7, Paul goes on, it's quite a tongue twister, talking about that battle. It's quite a description of the battle within the heart of faith, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, but we still have this ugly, sinful nature that also is a part of us, and it's a constant battle between the two in our lives, but not for those who are separated from Christ. There's no one to fight with. And so in that life, it's one that fully embraces sin, willfully. And that's the entire mindset that is taken up by the things of the flesh. That's the total focus. That's all that is seen. And so the interests of the flesh, the interests of ungodly things, the interests of the things of this world is the entire attention of an individual separated from Christ. And there's hostility then, obviously, towards God. In fact, there's even an intentional doing things in contrast to God's will, in rebuking God, if you will, with your sinful life. It's a blatant rebellion and even a hatred against God. And it certainly is a life that does not submit to God's will, but seeks out the desires of the flesh. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, you're probably familiar with this listing in verses 19 to 21, but we hear about the works of the flesh. And there's the list that God gives to the Apostle Paul to write down in the letter to the Galatians. And look at that. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That is the world. And we shouldn't be shocked by that. And especially in the world today, more and more, that is saying that really Christ is that. He's the evil one that shouldn't even be mentioned, cannot pray in His name, and so forth in the public square. And if you push Christ out, that's what life is like. And it certainly is descriptive of our culture, right? But dare I say, it's descriptive of a part of our being as well in our sinful nature. Because there's a part of our life that eats that up, that seeks that out, that is drawn to that. But we are also people of faith, and so the battle is going on within us, but not for the unbeliever. For they do not belong to Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, does not dwell in the heart of an unbeliever. And so sin is not condemned in their lives, but they honor sin. And the tragic thing is they are powerless to change. Now, it's important for us to have that description given to us by God, because it's a great warning of a part of us, that sinful nature that's going to continue to try and drag us down, that's going to continue to attempt to draw us in to all of these things, and they all lead to death. And if it wasn't for the grace of God intervening in our lives, we would be part of the unbelieving world, because we do not have the power within to change. And when we stand before the judge, who is the judge of all judges, the verdict would be in now and we would be condemned. Because the end result of this is death. And tragically for the unbelieving world, it is death now. Because they are not living in the Spirit. They are spiritually dead, and their future is even worse, because it's eternal condemnation in hell. That's where all this leads, and that's how harsh God's judgment is. And you talk about a death sentence. The one that we saw represented by the individual standing before the judge, that's minor compared to being condemned to hell for eternity. Now, this is where we could be if God was not a gracious God. If God had not chosen to send His own Son, who would come to do an incredible thing, to deliver us out of this mess. And so you see, it's only through God's intervention that sin and death can be resolved. And God has done this in an incredible way. It's in verse 3 of our text, and I'm going to break this down into parts. And the first part of verse 3 says, God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. Now that's so important for us to understand, because the majority of the world, even those who are religious, who worship other gods, they would say this is totally contrary to their belief system, because they believe the law can motivate and empower them to do God's will and to fulfill God's will. But it cannot, because our flesh is in the way. You see, the law demands perfection, and we are powerless to be perfect. And the law cannot make us perfect. And yet the law demands that we be perfect. Think about that. There's no way out of this mess. And then we hear God saying in verse 23 of Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God just lays it out. There's the judgment on the world, including you and me, in our sinful nature. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The judgment is on everyone. And there's no way we can get ourselves out of this by our own power and strength. Well, Lot would say, well, yeah, I can because I'll live by the law. God will be pleased if I live in accordance to the law. Well, then we hear Romans 7:5. For while we were still living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Look at that. So the law condemns us, but the law also arouses sin within us, even makes us want to sin more. Interesting. The law is powerless to change the hearts of men. The law cannot remove the passion of sin that is in our sinful nature. But what the law cannot do, God has done. And that's in the second part of this lovely verse 3. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Think about that. So in the likeness of sinful flesh, but first sending His own Son. So this is God. Very evident. Another text in Scripture clearly revealing that Jesus Christ is fully God, but also He was sent in the likeness of flesh, in the likeness of man. He is also fully man. But in the context of Scripture, we know that unlike you and me, He is without sin. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. And so, unlike us in that He was never sinful, but He took on the sins of the world. And that's the third part of this text, of verse 3. He condemned sin in the flesh. Think about those words. Sin is personified here. And it's as though sin is standing before the judge, and this is our Heavenly Father who judges all things, and sin is standing before the judge, and the judge says, I condemn you, sin. And He does that through the gift of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Incredible words before us this morning. Formerly, sin condemned us, but now sin has been condemned by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus did that by doing what none of us could do. He fulfilled the law perfectly. And then He went to the cross and He paid the punishment for the sins of all people. It's Jesus in the courtroom, and He's carrying the sins of the world, weighing heavy upon Him, standing before the judge who is His Father, and the judge divvies out the punishment upon Him because of the sin that He bears. What love God has for us, His people. And you know, through God communicates this, He offers it to the world. He desires that everybody be saved. The only thing we can do and are empowered to do is say, no, God, I don't need it, I don't want it, which the majority of the world does. But God offers it, and through His gracious means of grace, we are blessed to receive it. And there's where Romans 10:17 comes in. Look at that. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. not through the law. The law condemns us. The law reveals to us we are in trouble and we need help. That's the goodness of the law. And to look then to Jesus who delivers us. And the hearing the word actually empowers us to do that. And of course, the other means of grace is baptism. In Romans 6:6-7, we know that our old self, this is awesome, this is what happens whenever a baptism takes place. The old self, the sinful nature, was crucified with him, and the him is Christ. It's put to death in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. In our baptism, God killed us in a sense. He killed our sinful nature to the extent that it no longer can consume our lives. And so when this headbutting goes on between our sinful nature and the new person of faith, God is protecting the new person of faith. The battle's still there, but God delivers us from that battle so that our sinful flesh can no longer defeat us. What a victory the Lord has won within our own lives. And that brings us back to verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's the verdict from our Heavenly Father who judges all things. If Christ is in you, I declare you not guilty. The wonderful word justified elsewhere in Scripture is the same declaration. The Spirit of life has set you free, God says. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit, that Spirit who comes from the Father and the Son, who comes, and of course, in Christ Jesus, this incredible work has been accomplished. And the Spirit enables us to believe it, and we are set free. And so sin is condemned, and we are relieved of that condemnation. And so we are free from sin and death. Talk about a victory that we are blessed to live in every day, that sin no longer can control our lives, but we have this awesome new life now, a gift from God in faith. Even though Satan and our sinful flesh continue to try to drag us down, God is intervening all the time through His gospel to change our lives, ongoing. And we have been radically changed. And as such, what we were powerless to do, now, with the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, we are empowered to be totally different, to set our minds not on the things of the flesh, but the things of the Spirit. And remember that list a moment ago from Galatians of the works of the flesh? Well, look at the contrast here in Galatians 5:22-25. Sorry, Dan, I went one ahead of you. If we could just go up to that one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's who we are now, by God's grace. Look how that changes a culture, by the way. Look how that changes not only our individual lives, but the influence that Christians have in a room, in a family, in a community, in a nation, when these are the things that are promoted through this new life that God has given to us. And so it's the power of the Spirit that enables us to seek these fruit. What a blessed life. No longer deceived by the battle within. You see, I have people come to me, and sometimes I get very frustrated too. Do you ever get frustrated by the battle within? And you're kind of like, you know, if I was really a Christian, I don't think I'd have this battle. I mean, if I was really a Christian, I would want to serve God with my whole life, and this sinful nature junk wouldn't even be involved in my life anymore if I were really a Christian. And Satan's just standing there smiling. And yeah, just keep down that road of thinking because I love it. But that's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to realize that the more intense you become in your faith, the more you strive to live in accordance to God's will, the more intense the battle becomes. Remember, it's the unbelievers that don't have the battle. Nobody to fight with. Hey, I'm embracing sin. This is who I am. God, I don't need you. And I am just at peace with that. Well, they're not really at peace. But they don't have this battle. We do. And that's a sign of the faith within us. So if Satan ever tries, in your sinful nature, try to lead you down that road in that battle, oh, you can't be Christian if you're battling these things, you can look at them in the face and say, hey, God reveals to me the battle's a good thing. Just go to Romans 7. I encourage you to read that today. Paul, the great apostle Paul, speaks of the battle within himself that I speak of here. We have, though, peace with God. Even though the battle goes on, we know Christ has won. We know the verdict is in. We know that God has declared us not guilty. And what do we have? But we have peace and life with God. No longer living under the law, in the sense that the law can no longer condemn you and me. Christ has already taken the full condemnation for that. And we have a clear conscience. God doesn't want us to live in guilt. And if you're battling guilt today, release it to the Lord. Hear God's voice speaking to you today. Doesn't want us to carry guilt. We are forgiven. And we live in a secure relationship, knowing that God looks upon us with His favor and His acceptance. God doesn't force it upon us, but He reaches out His hand like a compassionate father. And He takes our hand and He guides us gently through the battles of life. But we know where it's going to end. It's going to end in glory. On Saturday, we got to celebrate that with Virgil Hansen, child of God who is now in glory. And on Tuesday, we get to celebrate that with Ron Rutt, knowing that Ron now is in the glory of heaven. Well, in conclusion, I don't remember this story. Maybe you do. But I'd like to bring up Carla Faye Tucker. And there's a picture of her tombstone, I think, that we have. And Carla Faye Tucker was the first woman to be executed in the United States since 1984. Carla stood before the judge. The verdict came in guilty. She had murdered at least one person, and for her crimes, she was put to death. And the first execution since 1984. She was convicted of murder in Texas in that year and put to death 14 years later. But oh, did her life change in prison. So guilty under the law of the land, and yet the gospel came to Carla Faye Tucker, and she was given freedom. She was given peace. She was given eternal life. And while she was there in the death chamber, here's some of the things that happened. Her last words were, "Yes, sir, I would like to say to all of you," and this is to the family affected that lost their loved one that she murdered. She said, "I'd like to say to all of you," and she said their names, and she said, "I am so sorry." And then she went on to say, "I hope God will give you peace with this." And a little later, she continued to say, "I love all of you very much." Now she's speaking to her family. I am going to be face to face with Jesus now. Thank all of you so much. You have been so good to me. I love all of you very much. I will see all of you when you get there. I will wait for you. And after saying those words, she was executed by lethal injection. And as the chemicals were going into her body, she was praising Christ and looking at the ceiling and humming. What a contrast of a life that has been saved by God's intervention. And one convicted to death and dying, but knowing that she has life eternal. And so it is with us, and so it is offered to the world through the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for His Son. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Lord of life. Amen.